Welcome back. If you just joined us, this is the right time. You're joining me at the time where I'm welcoming our speaker, Poloko Makolane, who is a speaker. He's an author, he's a communication coach, very passionate about helping people walk in purpose, clarity, and influence. Also, the founder of Speaker Mastery Global. And of course, no stranger to us here on Elevated, but it has been a while. Poloko, good day. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Good day, and thank you so much for extending the invitation. I'm very glad to be here, and I always look forward to our conversations.
Listen, it's been a while though. I think it's been a couple of years since the last time we spoke. If I don't have it wrong, I think we spoke after you published your very first book, if I remember it correctly. Since then, tell me how the brand, how the ministry, how the business has grown.
Oh, God has been so good to us. God has been so good to us. Right now, we are actually on my fourth book. So when we spoke, it was the second book. And right now we're on the fourth one, which has done amazing work. It is, being read everywhere in the world, quite literally. I think we're at over 50 countries now. And God has just been doing amazing work. And not only am I putting my own book out there now, but at the moment we're actually in the process of also helping other authors. So through the book itself, we decided to start an initiative where after every 1,000 copies that we place out there, we're picking up one more aspiring author who would like to put their voice out there. And just mentoring them and sponsoring them through the entire initiative until they sell their first 50 copies, and we help them get their system right and let them on their way. So that has been what's been happening lately, and it's really been a blessing.
That's incredible. I must tell you how you're not only encouraging others, but you're actually helping them, holding their hand. What sustains you? What sustains you, Poloko, throughout this process so many years? Because I know it doesn't come without challenges.
Of course, the challenges are, I could write a book about the challenges by themselves, but what sustains me more than anything is faith. Sometimes we talk about faith as if it's this unattainable thing, and we speak about it as just believing God for great things. But there is an element of faith which we don't often speak about, which is resilience, the ability to just believe that God is actually still who he is or who he says he is, even when you don't see it in your life. So faith has an element of resistance to it. Not only the I'm trusting God for this and I'm trusting God for that, but more specifically, God, right now I don't see it, I don't know it, I don't know what's going on, but I continue to hold on to this faith that I have, this hope that I have. So my faith has really sustained me. It has really sustained me. It has really carried me because I've grown to a point where I know that God is who he says he is, even when I don't see it. And it is not my circumstances that validate whether God is who he says he is or not. The sun still rises, the stars still shine, the weather is still what it is, creation still continues, even when my own little world doesn't seem to be going my way. So it's really faith that has sustained me, and not just the word faith, but a deeper understanding of it, that resilience part of it.
I love that you bring up resilience. It's something that I'm actually studying at the moment, just in my personal capacity, because you need resilience to be able to fulfill your purpose and your calling, because life will happen and there will be obstacles. Resilience is what I believe sets people apart, sets those who succeed apart from the rest. Talk me through a season in your life recently that perhaps really tested your resilience, where you were thrown into a practical example of now having to practice resilience.
I tell people about this whenever we talk about unlocking favor with God and people, and the question of where does the subject of favor comes from. I always talk about how when I wrote Unlocking Favor with God and People, I wasn't writing a book. I was actually journaling my journey. And by that I mean, A couple of years ago, I found myself in a place where I was without a home, without any income, without a plan forward, without any kind of practical hope. And I had a moment where, in that period, I was sitting in a car that someone had told me you can sleep in because I was pretty much a wanderer from one friend to another. And I was literally living from day to day, trying to make enough money to afford a guest house. And it came to a point where I couldn't. And this guy, who didn't know me very well, just said to me, "Listen, I have daughters at home. I don't know you very well. My family doesn't know you. So I can't really tell you to come to our house," which I understood completely. I don't think you should be letting a strange man into the house when you have daughters or children in general. And at the time, he had this car that was parked on top of some bricks outside his house, this old beaten up car. He was like, "Listen, if you're willing to, you can sleep in here. I'll bring you a blanket." I said, "Yes." It's better than what I thought was about to happen to me. And as I sat in that car throughout the night, I cannot understand myself how I was able to sleep so peacefully, because I slept, right? And when I woke up in the morning, while still sitting in that car, I took out my phone, and I have a video on my, in my drives somewhere, where I just said to myself, "You're passing through the season. So this is the time to start documenting everything so you can tell everyone how God brought you out as soon as you come out." And when I tell you right now that I did not think, I personally, if you asked me in my carnal capacity as a human being, if you asked me if there was a way out, I wouldn't have thought there was a way out. But when I slept in that car, I woke up with this certainty, with this confidence in my heart to say, "Nah, we're passing. We are passing." As a matter of fact, it has already happened, and it's just a matter of me finding out how it happened and how God brought me through. So keep the faith, keep on going. And at the time, I always tell people this: I was showing up online the same way, right? The same way. You would not look at me and think, "Oh my goodness, that's oh, poor, poor, look." You wouldn't think that, because on the outside, I still showed up and I still preached the same message. I still taught the same things. And the reason why was because I so believed what I was teaching. I believed it 100%, even when I did not have the evidence to back it at that time. At a spiritual level, at the depth of my conviction, I believed it. And truly, if there is anything that I thought would destroy me, if I did not have that conviction, it was that period where I was just living from day to day. Food was secondary to my mind because I just wanted a place to live, right? I didn't even think about food. I just wanted a place to live. And God brought me through that, and in that taught me everything that I needed to learn about how he favors people, right? Principles that still sustain me to this day were learned in that season.
I want you to take our listeners or our viewers on that journey with you for a moment, and talk us to how you got that breakthrough. How did you get to that, to the point where God helped you to have a home again, to have a place to stay again? And how incredible to hear that through that season, you still ministered, you still showed up online, and you were still bringing hope to so many people.
You know, if there is one thing that that season taught me above all things, and there's a lot that I learned, but the one thing that I will put above everything else, it is that God works through people. God works through people. In that season, I was still at a place of immaturity. And when I say immaturity, I used to think that I don't want anyone to take success, to take credit for my success. I'm gonna be self-made. I'm gonna do it myself. I don't care who's not with me. I'm gonna do it anyway. It's just me and God. And I learned that it can never be just me and God. It will never be just me and God. And in that season, I have some people in my life who are still in my life right now. And every time I'm with them, I remind them of the role they played in my life, because at that time, while I was still showing up online and talking to people and inspiring people, There was a particular gentleman who is a brother to me now, who used to show up every single day watching my live streams and being inspired by my live streams. And one day he asked me to meet for lunch. He said, I'm thinking of doing some business with you. Can we meet for lunch? We happened to be in the same town and I met him for lunch and he just wanted to hear my story. What are you up to? What's going on in your life? Where are you in your life? How are you doing all of this? And after a little resistance, I was just honest with him to say, listen, this is really how I'm living. I'm just living day to day. And he became the most important part of my story in the recent 10 years because his first response was to say, okay, we're going to make sure that you are okay. You have everything you need. I have a camera at the house. I'm going to give you that camera. Find a place and I will help you with rent for a little while. I have a car that I don't use very often. And why would God give me resources if it's not for helping someone else? So whenever you need to drive somewhere to do the work you do, just come get the car. I don't need to know anything. It'll always have fuel in it. It's for you, right? And after him, there was someone else who just reached out to me and they said, listen, I just wanted to help you out. God put it on my heart. And they would send me about 2,000 rands every month as, regularly. No strings attached, not asking for anything, just saying, I just want to help you out. And in that season of my life, I learned that my understanding of generosity still had a long way to go because I used to think I was generous. But then, as soon as I saw that there are people who are willing to stake their whole lives on making sure that you get by. And when I spoke to this gentleman, the first one who helped me, he said to me, listen, I was in a dark place when I would listen to your live streams at 7 a.m. You have no idea what you did for me. And I'm thinking, you've helped me so much. And if you talk to him today, he will tell you what you did for me is beyond what I can pay you for. So it was that consistent showing up where I continued to do something that I did not even know how it would pay off because I would live stream every morning where I'm just doing a Bible study and encouraging people, just giving them strength and hope for the day. And on the other side, someone was listening. Someone was holding on to every single word as a lifeline for themselves to the point where they were compelled to say, how do I pour back into you? Poured back into me, and that relationship has continued. And so, if there is one thing that God taught me in that season, it is the power of relationships, right? The power of relationships, divine helpers who show up at just the right time. The fact that God never reaches out a hand through the sky to give you anything, it always comes through people,
I love
always.
that. I love that. You said something so powerful, Poloko. You said it will never be just God and me. It will never be just me and God. People plays a critical role. And today we sit here and we thank God for that season in your life because it led to this book, Unlocking Favor with God and People. You started to touch on it already now, the importance of meaningful relationships. We live in a world where relationships are not as valued because it seems that the world is so big. I can have a relationship with many. I don't need you. There's like, if I just pick up my phone, there's thousands of people. I don't need you. We don't invest in relationships like we used to. Your testimony, evident to the fact that God uses people. Talk to us about the importance of building meaningful relationships and how we do that.
Most importantly, I think it's good to start at a place where we realize that relationships are not meant to be transactional, right? And we have to deal with the misconception around relationships because, yes, you can benefit from relationships and you should benefit from relationships because you should expect people to benefit from being in a relationship with you. But when you approach them from the perspective of solely wanting to gain something, very often you will lose them. If you treat them as give me something, I give you something, you will lose them. There are certain people who you know in your life that if you have anything that you hold in your hand that you would like to share, that you would like to give, they will be the first person that you think about. And it is not because of what they, it's not only because of what they did for you, it is because of the relationship that existed before that. Now, of course, we have people that we say are divine helpers or that people call destiny helpers who show up out of nowhere with the assignment to help you. But even then, it's important to understand that when that relationship comes, you have to you have to steward it with honor, with loyalty, where in such a way that should a door ever close, you know that the door can be open again because you know someone on the inside. There are many people who will never be able to get access to certain places. They got one opportunity and it was one and done. Because when the door opened, they didn't build a relationship on the other side so that should they somehow find themselves outside, they can knock on the door again and say it's me, and their voice be recognized by the person who's on the other side. So very important that we understand that relationships should not be that our strategy around relationships should not be to manipulate, should not be to say, if I do this for you, you've got to do that for me. Those are not the most beneficial relationships in our lives. The people I'm telling you about, the people I just told you about, if they called me right now, I would walk across the country for them. I would walk across the country for them. If they need anything from me right now, I would give the last of what I have to share with them, to give to them. Not because what they gave me in terms of rand amount equates to the same thing. It's not that. It is that the value that they had in my life at a certain point is of it is of such great value that I cannot ignore it for the rest of my life, right? And I think about how we also have to have a generational thinking to our relationships. You know, the gentleman that I'm talking about right now, I always think about how one day I pray to God that I get the opportunity to be a blessing to their children. That's what I want. I can't do anything for them. They don't need anything from me. But I am always looking for an opportunity to say, what can I do for your children? And one day your children will come up to a certain door and they'll knock and they'll say, hi, my name is so and so belong. And they'll say, belong. Wait a minute. Do you know Jenna Lee? Oh my goodness. Let me tell you what your mother did for me. Let's put your application aside. Let's talk. I'll tell you everything that your mother did for me. Please tell her I said hello. Come back here tomorrow so that you can get started. Right? That is literally the power of relationships. And we don't always think about it because we often think about the immediate gain, the immediate reward. I do something for you. What can you do for me right now? And I think finally, one of the most important points, and I talk about, so in the way that the book is laid out, before we talk about relationships, we talk about value, we talk about excellence, right? And in talking about, and we talk about a gift as well, being a giver. So when we talk about being a giver, being valuable, and having a standard of excellence, it's the understanding that your relationships, the power of your relationships, will go as far as you are valuable. Now, I can say, and someone can say to me, oh, you're so blessed, you're so fortunate that someone showed up for you and they helped you out when you needed it. But you can say that ignoring the value that they extracted from me before that. And the value in me compelled them to say, oh man, I have to give you something. I have to be a blessing to you. I have to respond in kind. So we also have to pay attention to the standards by which we live, because the higher your standard is, the higher the quality of the relationships around you will be.
Sure, I love it. And just listening to you, I'm realizing that this book is like a masterclass. Just this conversation feels like
Yes.
a masterclass. And once again, thank you for sharing, not just from your book, but being vulnerable and open about your own testimony as well. I really believe that it is making a big impact today. I want you to tell us a little bit more about your book, but speak to me about some of the biblical principles that you delve into when it comes to unlocking favor with God and people? Just briefly, please.
All right, so every single one of the principles that I share about in unlocking favor with God and people is a biblical principle that has completely transformed my life. And from practicing it, I was able to write about it. And just to give you an idea, and I will quickly read them and then maybe just zero in on one, but we talk about the power of a gift, for example. The very first one is the power of a gift. And that refers to Proverbs 18, verse 16, which says that your gift will make room for you and place you in the presence of the great. And I'll talk about how I used to misunderstand what that really means, because I thought it means if you're talented, if you're gifted, you're gonna go far. You'll be placed in the presence of the great. Until I read it in a different version, which explains and says that giving a gift can open doors for you, right? So it is to say, it doesn't matter how talented you are. What opens doors is how you use your gift to bless us, to contribute positively to our lives. And most people miss this because when they hear this verse, they think, oh my goodness, I'm gifted, I'm blessed, I should be able to go far. But you will only go as far as you are valuable, as you bless other people. And so I can be a gifted communicator, I can be a gifted speaker, but if I never use my voice to bless someone else, then it doesn't matter. It means nothing to where God can take me. And we also talk about the power of excellence, which Proverbs also tells us that do you see a man who is skilled in his labor? He will stand before officials of high rank. He will not serve officials of low rank. So the only way that we elevate, the only way that we rise is by being able to raise our own personal standards. You know, I often explain it this way. All of the world around you is treating you according to the standard that you have set for yourself, right? We see how you treat yourself, we see the standard you have for yourself, and we respond in kind. A great example to think of this would be gifting on birthdays. There are certain people, because of their personal standard, when their birthday comes up, you start to break your head because you don't know what to get them. You don't know what to get them. Oh my goodness, I need to think really hard about this because of the standard this person has for themselves. And then there's someone else that if you just got them a pair of socks, it wouldn't even matter because subconsciously, you know that that's the standard they have for themselves, right? It wouldn't even matter if you didn't get them a gift. So, all of us have a certain standard, a personal standard that the world is constantly responding to. In the marketplace, in relationships, in the communities that you occupy, in society, the world is always responding to the standard that we have for ourselves. Back when I was coming up as a speaker, there were certain speaking gigs that I would get, and they would treat me as if I was a nobody, even though I'm coming to speak. And then as I continued to raise my standard, it got to a point where even in the reaching out, in the inquiry, there is a certain weight to it. That way, when you come to speak on the day, we treat you a certain way because we see how you treat yourself. So that's another principle that I think is incredibly important as far as attracting the favor of God and people is concerned. The Bible tells us, and I'll finish off with this, it tells us in Daniel 6, verse 3, that Daniel so distinguished himself by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. The king of an entire kingdom planned to set Daniel over his entire kingdom because Daniel had such exceptional qualities. And everywhere we look in the word, we see men and women who had such a high standard, who were so wise, who were so diligent that God could use no one else but them, right? God had to use them. The kings planned to set them over kingdoms. So it is important for us as well as believers in the marketplace, in relationships, wherever we go, that we raise our personal standard so that the level of favor that we attract will match that very same standard.
I absolutely love this, and I know our listeners are waiting for us to get that contact details, because this is a book that I believe not just every believer should have, but leaders in our country should be delving into. So please, if you are watching, you're listening, get ready. We're going to share the details on how to get this book. So much more we could have gotten into, but the point is for you to get the book. That's the whole point. So we leave it there with Poloko, but I can't let you go without saying that I'm noticing something there on your finger that I personally haven't seen before.
Oh yes,
Yes, maybe I've not followed you so closely on social media, so I don't even realize that there's a missus in the picture. That's probably your most important relationship besides
most
God
important.
right now. Just quickly tell us, how did you convince her to marry you?
Oh my goodness, how could I not? Look at me. No man, I also wonder. I also wonder. It has been the biggest blessing of my life, to be honest with you. It has been the biggest blessing. I always tell the story of how the very first time that I asked her to go on a date, I used all the money I had left for that date, which wasn't that much. It was 400 rands left in my possession. And I said, you know what? I still have to have lunch with her anyway. And just a few months into being with her, God had completely transformed my life. She carried so much favor. So it had to be so. It had to be so. She didn't have a choice. She didn't have a choice. I would make sure somehow that she ends up being my wife. So yes, I didn't have this ring on the last time that we had a conversation. So
Yeah, that's
the favor of God.
that's what I wanted to say. The favor of God, He gave you favor with the beautiful missus, and one day we'll speak again about that and how important it is to make that decision, because who you have in your life, the wife, the spouse that you marry, determines so much in your life. So congratulations to you, not just on the marriage but on the books. I know Speaker Mastery Global is doing exceptionally well too. If people want to get in touch with you, maybe they want your services either as a coach, a speaker, or they want to get their hands on this book. How do they do that?
So everything is on our website, which is polokoglobal.com. Polokoglobal.com. That's Polokoglobal.com. The contact details for if you want to get the book, you can get it on our website. And the book is also available on Amazon for those who are listening to this on YouTube internationally. The book is available on Amazon and it's available on polokoglobal.com.
There we have it, Poloko. Thank you so much for your time. As always, a great blessing. You are all the best, and I can't wait to get into this book myself. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Jenna Lee. I appreciate it, and I look forward to another conversation soon.